And by your Spirit, you still bring light to illumine our paths. Renew us in faith and hope that we may welcome Christ to rule our thoughts and claim our love as Lord of Lords and King of Kings, to whom be glory always. Amen. Our scripture today in Matthew is about the coming of the Son of Man. But before that happens, there's sort of the end of the age before, and there's a lot of destruction and famine and earthquakes and false prophets. So Jesus is telling his disciples to be strong and await the coming of the Son of Man. Listen to these words from Matthew. About that day and hour, no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and given in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away. So too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field. One will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together. One will be taken and one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this: if the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. I've decided that this Advent season I am going to focus more on the Old Testament, the Hebrew Bible lessons, than I am on the New, although there's going to be kind of a duet between the two lessons, because they do come together. Jesus is doing in Matthew what Isaiah has done as well in an earlier time. And indeed, Isaiah is quoted more in the New Testament than any other part of the Hebrew Bible. When Jesus begins his ministry, he quotes from Isaiah. But there is this warning inherent in much of what is said. And in the lesson this morning where Jesus tells us to wake up, I once saw a bumper sticker that said, "Jesus is coming, look busy." But we are to wake up. And Isaiah and all the prophets warn us against complacency. They warn us against callousness. To Isaiah, It is not that we are in a world dead of meaning. We are in a world where we have become deaf to its meaning. And so, in the beginning of Isaiah, there is, as there is always in Judah and Israel, in the northern and southern kingdoms, threats. They are on the trade route between Egypt and the rest of the Middle East. It is valuable land, and this is a time where Egypt is threatening from the south and west, and Assyria is threatening from the north and east, and people are really focused on that. And they're letting all sorts of other things go. And in the first chapter of Isaiah, he speaks against the folks saying that this is not a time for us to worry about the widow and the orphan and the alien. We can't take time for them right now. And Isaiah rails against that, saying this is our first call, not to armaments. And so, in the second chapter where we start, he paints a vision. So listen now for the word of the Lord. The word that Isaiah, son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. In days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of all the mountains, and it shall be raised above the hills, and all nations shall stream to it. Many people shall come and say, "Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths." For out of Zion shall go forth instruction, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. The Lord shall judge between the nations and shall arbitrate for many peoples. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. O house of Jacob, come, let us walk in the light of the Lord. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I come from a Navy family. Talked about that before. And I also have two brothers who have boats. Don't ask me what kind of boats. They're big boats. You can sleep on them. You can take them out into the ocean and come back, or at least along the coastal waterways. My family loves that kind of stuff, and I am one of those people who gets seasick. But I learned a long time ago, if you are out in a boat, especially because we never go out of sight of the coastline, if it's choppy and stuff, if you fix your eyes on a point on shore and you just kind of meditate on that, you will settle down. It will get better. Sometimes, okay. But, I mean, it really does. It gets better. And I also remember another time I was out and I was hiking with friends in Bandelier National Park out in New Mexico, which is this extraordinary park with these Native American ruins. And there is a holy, holy kiva that is way up in the mountains. And to get to it, you have to climb a ladder. Well, not only do I get seasick, I can get vertigo. And I really wanted to see this. So I knew I was going to have to climb the ladder. So what I had to do was fix my eyes at the top of the ladder and never look down. I had to look up, because if I had looked down, it would have been all over for me. It was a long, slow climb up that ladder. But I got there, and I was able to see what was there, and it was really special. Isaiah is kind of like that this morning. in a time of great turbulence, he has a vision, and I love because it says he sees the word of the Lord. It's not that he hears, he sees the word of the Lord. And you know, Kathy's gorgeous picture on the front of the bulletin today from Yosemite is just, look at that. Look, you know, I lift my eyes to the hills. Always there is this sense of presence and grandeur and something special being there, and he sees the mountain of the Lord. And he paints out a picture of what the world of God truly looks like. All nations will come. And it's just these words are on the wall across from the United Nations, that you will beat your swords into plowshares, your spears into pruning hooks. This is what Isaiah casts out to his people. But it is not a prophecy of the future. It's not like, okay, in the sweet by and by, this is what it's going to be. No. You see, the New Revised Standard and others don't really get the Hebrew right, because they say in the days to come. And truly what it says in the Hebrew is behind the days, or in the days that are right now. Because prophets always speak to the here and now. That's their role. And their role is that if this is what the world really is, and we are to work towards it all the time, we are to work towards a world of peace. It is not just that God is going to do this. This is what the world is supposed to be. This is how we are to live in the world. We are to beat our own swords into plowshares. And I was thinking about that this week. What does that mean for me? What does it mean for us? You see, there are swords in my own life, ways of thinking and acting, a high degree of stubbornness, that can be swords. What does it take for me to beat those into plowshares? What does it take for me to become a child of peace, a child of God? What does it take for me to be more reaching out than I am? The shopping season is shorter this year. We are already fast into it. And the sad truth is, not only will we spend more than we've ever done in the past, we will spend enough that if we took 20% of that, we could eliminate hunger in this country. This year, 25% of the money that was spent will be gifts for myself. We've gotten to this, oh, well, I was, you see the ads, you have the car ads. Well, I was good this year, so I bought myself a car. That's back to beating plowshares into swords. It's the other side of this. Isaiah calls us to a greater truth, a truth that is deep and raw and pure as the day he uttered those words 700 years before the birth of Jesus to now, December 1, 2019. We have to see what the world really is. We have to see the world as Isaiah sees it. We have to see the world through the eyes of Christ. And that is our challenge. Our challenge is to, on Giving Thursday, to be extravagant to the other people that aren't expecting, that we're not expecting gifts back from. Our challenge is to be extravagant towards those people we meet, to make the tip a little heavier, to be kind to those cashiers, to do the things that in our society have become swords, and it is our turn to turn them into plowshares. I saw the Mr. Rogers movie this week. It is not a child's movie. Do not take children, but every one of you should go see it. And there is a scene where there's a little boy visiting Mr. Rogers, and he has a sword, and Fred Rogers, who, as many of you know, was a Presbyterian minister, he hates toys of violence. And the little boy is kind of doing this with the sword, and Fred Rogers is down on his hands and knees talking to him, and finally he whispers to the little child something, and the child puts down the sword and hugs Mr. Rogers. And what has happened is Fred Rogers has said to the little child, "I see you have a big sword. Does it make you feel strong?" And the little boy is. And Fred whispers to him, "You are stronger inside than you are outside. You have no need of the weapon." We are stronger inside than outside. We have no need of the weapons of words and vitriol, the weapons of violence, the weapons of racism. We have no need of any of those because we are stronger on the inside. Amen.